Father, we're so thankful for your word. Thankful, Father, that it touches every area of life. Sometimes the joyful and happy times of life, but Father, also sometimes those occasions when there is suffering and we are puzzled about why and how to handle it. Father, I pray today as we study your word and particularly as we look into the book of Lamentations, help us to understand afresh your character and love, but also to understand the circumstances of life and sometimes, Father, the suffering that we personally experience, but we wonder why. And so, Father, as we come today to your word, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit who has given us this word. Help us now to understand it. Help us, Father, to apply it thoughtfully and meaningfully to our individual lives. Again, we ask for your enabling grace and guiding hand as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the book of Jeremiah we looked at before is a sort of a prelude to and a companion to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations was written out of great suffering and sorrow. You recall that Jeremiah had a long ministry of approximately 40 years. He was a lone voice standing at the edge, as it were, of the exile, calling the people to repentance, reminding them that they had spurned God's love and guiding hand for years, and now the cost was going to be borne in terms of the exile to Babylon. Now, you can imagine if Billy Graham had come preaching in America when he was going all across the country and on television and said, "You need to repent because God's judgment is coming on America." Well, they would have closed most stadiums to Billy Graham because they didn't want to hear that kind of a message. And that's what Jeremiah was. He was a prophet to the people standing on the very cliff edge, as it were, of the Babylonian exile. And his message was not one people wanted to hear. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He says in Lamentations, "My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed." He had a message calling people to repentance, but also in the book of Lamentations, he lived to see the fulfillment of some of his prophecies, particularly with reference to the Babylonian exile. And so here's one who could weep over the sins of the people and the lack of repentance, but also could weep at the consequences as he saw God's judgment poured out on them. And Lamentations really is a book of mourning Judah's exile. But it's an incredible book because there are five chapters in the book. And from the human standpoint, we look at it and say, well, normally when people are weeping and in great emotional distress, there's not a great deal of intellectual involvement in it. When you're crying tears, you're not necessarily thinking precisely and logically. And yet the book of Lamentations that is tear-stained as Jeremiah is writing it is an incredibly carefully arranged poetic writing because there are five chapters. In each of the four chapters, there is each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I would challenge anyone to write, in that case, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Try to write a meaningful, thoughtful, logical writing with that kind of alphabetic arrangement. And but when you come to the third chapter, there are three verses, each one starting with the same letter of the alphabet. So we don't see it in English, but the book of Lamentations, though it is tear-stained and from a broken heart on behalf of his people, it's also incredibly logically arranged. And he's going to have the cause for all of the suffering is because of the sins of Jerusalem. And the consequence is that God finally is bringing judgment because they refuse to repent. And in the middle chapter, which is the longer chapter, he begins in depression and despair, and yet he rises to hope. And we've got that incredible verse from which we get the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." And so he sounds a note of triumph here in chapter 3. And he's seeing the people waste away in chapter 4. And in chapter 5, he ends up with an appeal, "God, restore us, bring us back, make us whole again." So it's a remarkably logical book, but it's poetic in structure and alphabetic in arrangement. Now, that's remarkable. Only the Spirit of God guiding the heart and mind of Jeremiah could produce such a logical and yet such an intensely emotional book. And each chapter significantly ends with a prayer. So again, when you look at the book of Lamentations, you don't see necessarily, when you first read it, all of this logical and incredible arrangement. So it's immensely thoughtful, carefully designed, and yet it just is overflowing with emotion. And if you're like most of us and like me, emotion and intellect are not in the same book. I know someone kidded me once about saying, "Well, you're temperamental." I said, "What do you mean by that?" "Well, you know, 90% temper and 10% mental." Well, I don't know, but logic and emotion don't necessarily work well together. Well, Walter Kaiser came to our church one year in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and had just a four-week series, and he chose to speak on the book of Lamentations. I was fascinated by his structure of the book. He talks about the city of Jerusalem, and this is the outside view. He talks here about the wrath of God they experienced, the inside view. He comes to chapter 3, he talks about the compassions of God, the upward view, and the overall view, the sins of all classes, and the prayer, the future view. It did a masterful job of expounding the book of Lamentations. When you come to the book, it's obviously by name, by content, an outpouring of sorrow because God's people in Jerusalem have finally experienced the wrath of God because they have turned away from Him. They have ignored the voice of the prophets. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is sort of the one who's standing at the edge of the cliff, warning people, "Go back, go back. There's danger ahead." Well, and so he writes how deserted lies the city, once so full of people. And she who was queen among the provinces had now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. There is no one to comfort her. Five times in this short book, you'll find that expression, "no one to comfort her, no one to comfort her, no one to comfort her." They had reached the point where judgment was coming. And Jeremiah sheds tears copiously for what was in the past and what is now. He says, "After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins." And he says, "Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old." And someone has written that the most tragic words of tongue or pen are these, "It might have been." And here the people are weeping because of the suffering they're enduring. But Jeremiah has the unwelcome task of reminding them why they are suffering. It's because they have turned their back on God. And so he said, and there's a bitter, sweet element to memory. Most of us remember the good times, and we would just as soon forget some of the bad times. But they linger in the mind, and this is Jeremiah. He's reminding the people of the past, and looking out over the current scene, he sees the post-war suffering. We're long past World War II now, But if you can recall looking at some of the scenes of devastation when the bombed out hull of Berlin and Germany, a once mighty nation that caused us to go to war, and yet when the war ended, you see a war-torn country, devastated, buildings destroyed, people roaming the streets, scrounging for what little bit of food they could find. And that's what Jeremiah presents as he looks at Jerusalem, destroyed as it is by the Babylonians. Three separate times they had to come. And the third time they said, this is it. This is our third tour of duty in the military, and we're not coming back again. And so Jerusalem was completely destroyed, the walls torn down. Everything that could be destroyed was destroyed. And he says, all her people groan as they search for food. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. If they had a bit of jewelry, they're saying, listen, I've got this diamond ring. It's priceless and precious to me, but I need food. Will you trade food for this? Now, most of us would not want to give up family heirlooms for food, and yet that's what they had to do. And so Jeremiah sees the suffering of Jerusalem as unparalleled. He says, is it nothing to all you who pass by? Look and see, is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me that the Lord has brought on me? He recognizes, because he's been preaching his heart out, that the Babylonian exile is a result of God's judgment. But the cause is not God's indifference or cruelty. The cause is the people's sin and their refusal to repent and recognize. Now, it brings all kinds of theological questions to mind about suffering. And while we can't discuss them all, certainly the book of Lamentations is exploring that whole reason of why do people suffer? Why do God's people sometimes endure persecution and hardship, and why sometimes do the godless people seem to have great wealth and ease and everything goes well for them? We would think, well, listen, if we got what we deserved, well, all of us, if we're honest, to say, no, I don't want what I deserve. I want grace. I want mercy, not justice. Well, Jeremiah says the suffering is unparalleled, as it were, and he said the cause is sin. He said, the Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his commandment. He said, listen, all you peoples, and look on my suffering. And he makes that statement again. There is no one to comfort me. Five times in the book, no one to comfort me. No one to comfort me. And I remember a cartoon one time that someone said, if I can go through all the trouble of telling you all my problems, the least you could do is stop laughing. You know, sometimes you don't get a lot of sympathy from people. And that's Jeremiah's situation and the people's situation. And when you look at chapter 2, if you remember Jonathan Edwards, the early American preacher, preached a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And the Spirit of God so used that message that they said at the time people were clinging to chairs, to pillars of the sanctuary, pleading for God's mercy because of the conviction of sin. In one sense, would that we had that kind of spirit conviction today of sin. But in this case, Jeremiah is outlining in chapter 2, he said, he has hurled down the splendor of Israel. In fierce anger, he has cut off every king. He has poured out his wrath like fire. The Lord has rejected his altar. In chapter 2, he sees the anger of God at his people who have resisted his pleadings with them through prophet after prophet after prophet. And Jeremiah is almost like a last voice just before the exile takes place. And because Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet in chapter 2, we see his tears flowed from a broken heart. He said, my eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed. And particularly the most heart-wrenching thing that Jeremiah had to witness keep in mind that the Babylonians had attacked Jerusalem. They had massive walls to protect the city. They didn't have artillery and things like that in those days.